First reading this morning is from the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet at a time when Israel was once again being run over, and it had been taken over by the Greeks. They had been through the Babylonian exile and returned, and about 333 BC, Alexander came through. So they were used to being a subject state. They began to wonder if this would ever end. Would they ever again have a kingdom? And Zechariah was trying to give them hope, and he was using very, very specific imagery. Notice that he said that the horse and the chariot will be banished. Those were symbols of war, times of unrest. A king would ride in a chariot, or he would ride on a horse. What he proposed was, behold, your anointed, your king, will come to you meek and humble, riding on a donkey. A donkey was a ceremonial ride for the king, because a donkey was not fast. At times of prosperity and goodness and peace, the king rode amongst his people. So what he was telling the people is this anointed will bring a new kingdom of peace. A kingdom will be from never ending, from seashore to seashore. In our second reading today, Paul talks about two states of being in the flesh and being in the spirit. Now, Paul understood this very well. He was a living example of it himself. If you remember and recall, Paul was a Pharisee, a very staunch supporter of the law. In fact, he persecuted Christians, even putting them to death. See, the Jewish law contained 613 different laws and thousands of personal interpretations of that law. It was almost impossible for anyone to keep it. And Paul was a staunch believer into it until that day on the road to Damascus. And then he found something that was more. He found Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us, is that if we live in the Spirit, then we're living with Christ. The law in itself will not save you. And so it is for us this day in our time. Just simply coming to church and saying Hail Marys and being here will not save you. It's part of it. But there's more to it than that. And that's what Jesus leads us into the gospel. He begins by saying, Blessed are you, Father, that you have kept these things from the wise and learned and only revealed them to the little ones. What he's talking about is simply this. And even the rabbis and the scribes and the Pharisees understood that. They were the intellectuals, and he was attacking them at their level. He was saying, like Paul would be later on, just knowing the law is not enough. Even the Pharisees and the scribes and the rabbis would admit that even though they knew the law, all 613 of them, but it seemed like the poor, the little ones, the outcasts were actually closer to God than they were. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell these people. The law is important, but it's not the only thing. You see, what the people had come to understand was, in these exiles, the temple had been destroyed. So the temple of God wasn't a building. The temple of God lived in Scripture, and most importantly of all, in their hearts. Jesus goes on to say, No one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father, and to those to whom He chooses to be revealed. If you remember, there was a conversation much like this in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper. Jesus was predicting he was leaving. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Do you recall what Jesus' answer was? Philip, have I been so long with you that you still do not recognize me? Jesus is saying is He is the image of the Father. What is that image? It's not of God. That God just didn't will it to be. He didn't will the salvation of humanity. He came Himself. In the presence of Jesus Christ, He is a reflection of the love of the Father. A love so much that God so loved the world, He would send His only Son. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Jesus is saying to those around Him, know your faith, but most importantly, live it. You are the temple. I live here. In the last and the third part of the gospel, Jesus talks about a yoke. Now that doesn't sound very appealing, does it? When he says, learn from me, take my yoke. That sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? But did you know that the yoke was a very, very important part? That the animals that bore the yoke, that wore the yoke, that those yokes were actually made for those animals. They were made to bring them as much comfort as they could. And not only just an animal, they were always in pairs. So what Jesus is saying to you is know your faith. Live it in your heart. Bring your burdens unto me. Because the yoke Jesus asks us to bear is to yoke ourselves to him. To live our faith. To know that just as he bore his cross, we'll bear our burdens. We'll bear illness. We'll bear loss. We'll bear suffering. Marriages will fail. Children will disappoint us. Sometimes teenagers themselves have such a hard time being at school. But Jesus is saying, yoke yourself to me, for my burden is light. God never gives us more than we can endure. In fact, Mother Teresa famously said, God, no, God will never give me more than I can endure. But I just wish he wouldn't trust me so much. And that's what Jesus invites us to do today through this gospel. To trust in him. We ought to be living mirrors of our faith. St. Francis said, why walk anywhere to preach the gospel if your walking doesn't preach it for you? You're called to do more than just know our faith. We're called to put it into action. We're called to come here not because we should be here, but because we want to be here. Because here in our midst is Christ's presence in the Eucharist. In word and in sacrament, Christ still is amongst his people. In those sacred words we hear during the Eucharistic prayer, the words of transubstantiation, when the body and blood of Christ, when the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ, they forever become the body and blood of Christ. And we do that, those words, in such a way that it's not just recalling history, but it's called amnesis. It's remembering in such a way that it makes it real, true, and present again. That here in our midst is the reflection of God's love for you. I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. God will come as close to you as you allow him. He's always near you. Always around you. He waits for you to open your heart to become a temple. So today, as you walk up this aisle, so privileged that each and every time you come to Mass, in your hands is the one who loves you this much. He is the one that wants your heart to become the temple in which he can live. To know your faith, to believe in your faith, to put your faith into action, to believe in the cross. Pope Francis said that if we would truly stop for a moment and look at the cross, we would truly adore the Lord and look at the cross, we would realize that violence is never an option. That oppression is never an option. Discrimination is never an option. For if we truly look on the love and the reflection that Jesus says that he is of the Father, we would realize that when we come to Jesus Christ and we come to the Father, we will find peace in a world filled with trouble. My friends, today open our hearts and open your minds and let Jesus lead us through these troubled times in our world and in our country. Through him we will find everlasting peace, a peace the world could never give us. Peace that one day will lead us to the joy of everlasting life.